overview of the resurrection. We did an overview of the chapter. We covered 23 verses last week, and we were done earlier than we normally are when we only do a few verses. So if you missed last week, you missed a shorter message with more verses there out of 1 Corinthians 15. Now when we get into 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to take a little more time and break that up and look at that, but we gave an overview last week. Now, 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to pick back up in verse 17 here in just a few moments. But leading up to this point of 1 Corinthians 11, the beginning of this, remember what he's talking about. He's talking about the proper role of the man and the proper role of the woman. He talked about head covering and what that was symbolizing and what that meant. And what they were talking about there about the head covering. And if the man had his head covered and the woman didn't, it showed reversal of the roles. And we talked what that submission meant. We talked about what that was looking like and why that was important in that day and how that's important in our day to understand what the spiritual leadership and all that's there. If you missed that message, please listen to that because it's going to help you as we get into this portion of Scripture. Now, as we pick up in verse 17, we're going to look at the thought here. And if some of you like the titles and stuff, I'll give you the title. Coming for the Wrong Reason is the title we're going to look at of 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 17. Coming for the Wrong Reason. Now, I don't know about you, but there is sometimes in my life that I've done things for the wrong reason. The wrong motives. The wrong purpose of what is going on. Now, here in 1 Corinthians 11, the early church developed special fellowships, meals that came to be called the love feast. And that usually were closed with the observance of what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. Now, there was these meals that came together. They were for the purpose of fellowship. They were for the purpose of unity, and then it was streaming to partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to see as we get into this, and we might not get this far today, but when we get into this, we get into what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper was instituted the night he was betrayed. It was in the upper room, and those that have been to Israel, there is a place that they will refer to as the upper room. We're not sure exactly that is the upper room or not, but it's that area. And they would show how they would talk, how they would be there partaking of this meal and what would take place. When we get into this, we're going to teach on that a little bit, give some understanding of how they were there and what actually all took place in some of this. And they would partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper took place during that which we refer to as the Passover in that area there. And we understand, as we looked earlier on in 1 Corinthians, it talked about the cup. And we talked about what the third cup was. We talked about that. If you missed that, go back a couple messages. You can hear all about the cup. We don't have time to reteach everything there. And so we talked about the cup, and that was taking place. And then that cup represented that which would be in remembrance of Christ. Now, with this, keep in mind with the difference between the Passover and what we refer to as the Lord's Supper today. All right? The Passover was looking forward to, and they would sacrifice the lamb, and that was given, and that was there, the spotless lamb, and that would point to the Savior. The Lord's Supper is to do in remembrance to look back what Christ has done. That's the difference between the two of those. The Lord's Supper was instituted for the New Testament believer to be able to look back and remember those things. And we're going to talk about what it says there. It says, do in remembrance of me. And we're going to come back and look at that as we get into this. Now, the Corinthian church followed this idea of the love feast with the Lord's Supper at the end as a unifying thing. And we're going to talk about what the purpose of the Lord's Supper is. And it's in remembrance, but it's unifying. But they turned that which was supposed to be a good thing into a mess. All right? So if you want a second title of the message, turning a good thing into a mess. All right? There's two titles if you want them. One is coming for the wrong reason. The other thing is taking a good thing and turning it into a mess. They took something which was supposed to unify them, something that was supposed to bring them together for the praise of his glory, and they created a mess in them. This is where we're going to pick up, and we're going to look at some truths this morning, is in this thought of coming for the wrong reason. If you're able to, please stand with me, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, as we start to look at this portion of Scripture, I ask that you illuminate your words to us. Lord, I ask that you just show us the truths you want us to glean this morning and help us to apply it to our hearts and to our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Now remember, he just talked about the role, that what's going on. Now look at verse 17. As we look at the declaration given, we're going to see the declaration given and coming for the wrong reason. Now, in this that I declare unto you. Now, this which I have commanded, this word declare means commanded. This which I have given you, the truth that you're supposed to be following, what you're supposed to be doing, the purpose of the church, the purpose of the love feast, the purpose of the Lord's Supper, the purpose that you're called together to assemble together is to unify. But I want to tell you, as I declare this to you, I'm not going to praise you because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, I don't know about you. It's hard sometimes when you are going through the motions of life and you're going through things and you're doing things for someone to say, you're not doing it right. Now, what's interesting is that individuals were still showing up. They were still coming to the love feast. They were still partaking of the Lord's Supper. They were still doing the motions. They were still doing this. And Paul, who remember pastored this church for about 18 months, but is still involved in this church, says, you're doing these things, but I want to tell you, you're not doing it for the right reason. I can't praise you. I can't say well done, because you're not well done. You see, even before another portion of Scripture, Paul would say, hey, you've done this wrong, but there's some things I can praise you for. You've done this, but there's some things I can say, good job on. But at this portion of Scripture, as he makes this declaration here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, he says, I can't praise you for it. You're not doing it right. Now, I want us to think about this as a declaration is given, because I think it's very applicable to us today. I think many people today are doing this. They are coming to church. They're warming a chair, a pew. We say pews, but we know most churches don't have the hardwood and pews anymore. They have nice soft cushion pews or nice soft cushion chairs. How many remember the days of the old hard pews? You know why they made them that way? And you know why they were curved a certain way? It was to keep you awake in church. Now we make it so you can sleep in church. Right, Brother Brian? And so we do that. But the idea is this. We think just because we do something, we should get well done. You know what Paul was telling the church at Corinth? I can't tell you well done. I can't praise you. Because what I'm declaring to you, what I'm commanding you, what I'm sharing with you, what I'm giving to you, you're not doing it right. I tell you, I wish every time. I could always tell my kids, you've done such a good job. But guess what? There's times I have to tell my kids they didn't do a good job. Do you know there's times I wish I could be told every time I've done a good job. But do you know, I haven't always done a good job at everything I've done. And I believe that's true to every one of us, and even in the spiritual realm. A lot of times we want just the pat on the back. We want the approval just because we've done what we're supposed to do. We've done our Christianity. And Paul says, Church at Corinth, this is supposed to be a time of unifying. This is supposed to be a time of bringing together. This is supposed to be this. And yes, you're showing up, but you're not doing it right. I can't praise you. Do you know, we don't get credit just for showing up. Now, how many of you like those classes in school that you got credit just for showing up? How many hated those classes that you didn't get credit for showing up, but you got credit because you actually participated and was involved in that class? All right? Because what does that participation mean? It means you're actually involved in doing. Just showing up means you put your mind in neutral and you're just kind of coasting through and you have no idea what's going on. Do you know there's a lot of believers today that are coasting through the Christianity? You see, I can't praise you, church, is what Paul was saying, because you're just showing up. I can only praise you if you're doing what God wants you to do. A lot of believers want that good job because they are very spiritual and they go to church every Sunday. Woohoo! They want that pat on the back because they go to church every Sunday. And guess what else they do? They even take out their pocketbook and they tithe. Wow! Aren't you wonderful? You see, well, preacher, I even go beyond that. Every day, I get out my Bible and I read my Bible and I pray. And even once in a while, I'll even fast. I bet you don't even fast. Big deal. You already have your reward. You see, the idea is this. You can show up. You can go through the motions. You can do all these things and still miss what you're supposed to be doing. You can say you're a believer. You can say you're living for God. You can say you're doing this and miss it, church. And this is what Paul was telling this church. He's declaring unto them this. It says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that he come together not for the better, for the worse. He says, the problem is this. It's supposed to be coming for the better. That better means you're supposed to be coming together to edify one another. You're supposed to be coming together so you can grow spiritually together as a church. That's what that better is. That better is you're supposed to be coming together so you can unify and be that group that serves God together, lives for God together, and is the lighthouse in that community together. You're for the better that you are fellowshipping together, uniting together, loving together, living for God together. But you're not coming for the better. You're coming for the worse. Because you're coming for the wrong reason. You're coming not for the fellowship of unifying. You're coming to get your bellies filled. You're coming for the wrong reason. Now, I want to hit something this morning. Do you know a lot of people come to church for what they can get out of it instead of what they can give? Do you know why you're assembled together this morning? It's not so you can get. It's so you can help edify. Do you know why we come now? I want to be edified just as much as you need to be edified. We all need to be edified. That means build up. But build up the right way according to the Word of God. But I don't come so I can someone bless me. I come so I can be a blessing to someone else. You see, they came. They didn't come for the better. They came for the worse. They didn't come to be a blessing. They came because they wanted something out of it. They had the wrong motives for coming. They wanted their bellies filled. They wanted to get something out of it. And they wanted people to come to them. And they wanted people to do stuff for them. But don't ask them to do what they're supposed to be doing. Don't ask them to unify. Ask them, no, don't do that. Now, wait a second. I know this gets a little hard sometimes. Because most of us have a lot going on in our lives. And the last thing we want to do is try to help someone else. Because we needed a lot of the help ourselves. And truth, we do. And you know what? We're not feeling well. We have financial struggles. We have this. We have that. So someone should come to my needs. Someone should come to me. Someone should be about me. No, wait a second. He says, you're supposed to be coming for the better, but you're not coming for the better. You're coming for the worse. You're coming for the wrong reason. You're coming so you can be taken care of instead of edifying, unifying, and coming together. You're coming together, and we're going to see in a minute, they were coming together to cause division, not to cause unity. Because it became about them and not about God and not about others. You see, that's the declaration Paul was making to them. Paul was declaring unto them, commanding them, hey, this is what you're doing. You're taking something that should be special, something that should be spiritual, something that should help you, something that should make you grow, something that should help you in your Christian life, further it. But you're coming for the worse. And it's actually causing division. It's also causing you to hinder your growth. Now, I want to hit something this morning. Did you know if we come and gather together as a church, as assembly, and we come for the wrong motives or reasons, we can actually hinder our spiritual growth instead of help our spiritual growth? Do you know you can get bitter in church if you're coming for the wrong reason? You're coming for the better, but ultimately you're not getting the better. You're coming for the worse. You're not coming for the better. Oh, I'm coming for the better because I'm going to grow. No, you're coming for the worst because you have the wrong reason. And what's going to happen is you're going to become bitter. You're going to be angry. You're going to become resentful. And you're not going to grow. You're going to shrink in your Christian life. And that's what's happened a lot of times in many believers' lives. Oh, I've gone to church all my life. I've gone to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. I've gone to special meetings. I've gone to all those things. I've done all those things. And look at me. I haven't grown. No, you become bitter and you become angry. You become resentful. You become those things because you're coming for not the better. You're coming for the worse. It says, look at verse 18. So we see the declaration, but I want us also to see the perversion. Verse 18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. He says, first of all, the main problem is this. You're coming for the wrong reasons because you're not coming for unifying. You're coming for division. Now, back in chapter 1, those that can remember, all the way back, just a couple weeks ago, we were in chapter 1, maybe a little longer. You can go all the way back to chapter 1. Chapter 1 dealt with unity. And Paul is now reminding them of what their purpose of a church was. He says, now I declare unto you, first of all, when you come together in the church, now when you come together, when you assemble together, one of the first things and one of the first problems and one of the reasons that you're coming together for the wrong reason, for the worse, not for the better, it's because when you gather together, it says now, it says in the church. Let me just teach you a little quick thought here. What is that referring to? It is not referring to a building. As we drive through town and it's not a service day, we still refer to a building as a church, right? But we ultimately know a church is not the building. It's the individuals that make up the building. That's the church. A church is a local called out assembly. It's not wood. It's not brick, all right? It's a called assembly. It's when those gather together. He says, so when you gather together as a church, as you gather together as a called out assembly in Corinth, as you believers in Corinth come together and you meet together, here's the problem. First of all, most importantly, that's causing the growth issue in the church, that's causing the problem, is you did not get what I told you in the beginning of the letter, and now there's division happening. Now, how come we don't get it right away? How many of you were sent a letter before, or you read something before, and it hit some things, and it told you some things, and then you get to chapter 12, chapter 14 of something, and then it reminds you of something. It goes, that was talked about? Oh, I forgot all about that. Do you know why most times in a paper, those that know anything about writing papers and that type of stuff, what do you usually cover in the very beginning? Some of the more important stuff. Then as you go through that letter, you cover some other things that may be important but not as important as the beginning. And then what do you usually do, especially in a paper of some sort? You, at the conclusion, towards the end, you review and remind of those important truths. Why? So you can get it. Because they know by the time you reach in, you forgot what you read in the beginning. And what he's saying is this. First of all, most importantly, there's divisions. What is division? There means there are people at odd with one another. There's problems between these people and this person over here. There's issues happening within the church because what was supposed to be a unifying time has become a place of division because there are some that show up for the love feast and they don't have anything. And instead of the person that has everything sharing with that person, it's not sharing with them. Then this is happening and that's taking place and this is going on. Instead of this being a time of fellowship, it comes about being a time of filling our bellies. And then you tack on the Lord's Supper at the end and you're just doing it to get fed instead of having that time to reflect upon God. You're not doing these things for the right reason. This whole thing should be a great thing, but it's become a mess. It's become something that has tear something apart. Division means tear apart, and it's torn apart the church instead of bringing the church together. Now, let me share a few thoughts. One of the reasons we have fellowships is not so we can just get our bellies filled. I'll be honest with you. And those that have been around know very seldom do I even eat much at fellowships. Even before I lost the weight, before that, I don't. Because the purpose of the fellowship to me is not the food. The purpose of the fellowship is what? That we have time as a church family to come together, to unify together, to talk together around the things of God. That's why I think it's important for people to sit different places, get to know other people, get to know. Why? Because it's that fellowshipping, that unifying that thing together. But let me be honest. Do you know that even our fellowship meals that we've started has caused some division sometimes? Because someone messes up someone's food, or someone can't eat certain food, or someone can't do this and can't do that, and that which was supposed to be good has become an issue. Now, I understand not everyone can eat everything. I understand people can't eat certain things and it's going to make them sick. And believe me, I don't want them to eat certain things and make them sick. Unless you're Steve Burke and I sneak it in your food. But that's a different point. The idea is this. The purpose is to unify, not to rip apart. The purpose of having services, the purpose of having certain things is to unify, to edify, to build, to bring about the church, not to tear the church apart. Do you know I have different opinions than you on some things? And you have different opinions on me on some things. I sometimes think differently than you. Some of you, I think a lot differently, Steve. And vice versa. I would never want to have that much hair, even if I could. I would not want to have that much hair in my head. Even as a kid, I hated it touching my ears. I had a lot of hair, but I never liked my hair touching my ears. That drove me nuts. To this day, every morning I take and I trim around my ears because I hate the hair touching my ears. I hate the hair in the back of the, it just makes me, ooh. I did a couple weeks ago and Tanya's like, ooh. But the idea is this. We might have difference of opinion. And what happens is when we get together, our difference of opinion, what should be unifying us together, becomes a division. Now, there are some things that we need to divide upon. There are some biblical doctrines and teachings. Yes, we need to. But you know what we've created? That which should fellowship together when people bear their hearts to us, explain some of the things they're going through. Instead of saying, hey, I'm here to help you and edify you, we start tearing apart and say, you sinner, get right with God. What have you done? You've done this, you've done that. Wait, no, wait, we're supposed to edify. It's supposed to be a time as we fellowship together the way we do our fellowship meals in the afternoon. We ask a lot of questions. We get people to share. Why? Because the whole purpose of that sharing. Now, let me tell you, it'd be a lot easier for me just prepare a message and do my message. But the reason I do the way I do is to create an atmosphere where we as believers, as the family of God, as the church, as a called out assembly, we share those truths and share some things with one another. And people can see us and it unifies us. It brings us together. Now, a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, my time gets messed up. I'm old. Someone shared something. And then I overheard some other people talking about it after. Wait a second. The purpose of those individuals sharing during that time was to be able to build us and bring us together so we can pray together, help one another together, not to tear that person apart. That which is meant to be good has become worse, and that which is supposed to edify and unify has torn apart. And Paul was saying this to the church of Corinth. He says, perversion has come because division has come. Division has come in the church in this, the tearing or cutting. And he says, I believe it. I believe it's happening. Because even though I know there's some still good people in Corinth, he says, I know there's some that are being selfish in doing things for the wrong reason, and they've caused problems in the church instead of helped the church. Now, why did Paul, under inspiration of God, put, I believe it? Why is it there? Because I believe many times we need to be told, hey, this is the truth, and you may not see it, but others see it. How many of you stopped your kids before and they didn't realize they were doing anything? And then when you stopped them and you pointed it out, they saw it. How many have done that to your husband? No, put your hands down, Kate. Get the hand down there. And you've done that. And you've seen those things. And wait a second, because we don't always see it. And sometimes someone else will tell us, but it's when someone of authority tells us, we see it. All right, let me give an idea here. How many times have your kids told you, Mom or Dad, you've done something, and you're kind of like, oh, you're just a kid, I'm not going to listen to you. But then someone else that's an adult or a peer says the same thing, you stop and listen. Or how many times your spouse has told you something, and you go, that's just my spouse. But then maybe the pastor, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a deacon says the same thing to you and you take it a little differently than you did from someone else, right? I think there's a few that have been there, myself included, all right? We take it differently when it comes from someone else. And I believe the reason Paul put his little stamp on that and says, I believe what is being said of you, is because Paul wanted to know, hey, this is an issue. This is a problem that needs to be dealt with. This is not something that someone just made up. This is the truth of what is going on. And I believe this is the truth of what is going on in many believers' lives today. Many believers are just going through the motions, and they're coming things for their own reason, and they're just showing up and thinking that's good enough. And he says, you're causing division. You're not unifying things. Sometimes we just need to be called out. And by Paul saying what Paul said and by putting a stamp on there, he's calling them out and says, I believe it. I believe there's a problem here. I believe there's something that needs to be addressed. I want to just say this morning. I believe for the most part, we have good people in this church. I believe for the most part, most people in this church want to do right. But I'm just going to hit it. I believe there's a lot of times in our church, and I mean people, what I'm talking about, myself included, we need to be told, wake up. We need to be told, you're coming for the worse, not for the better. You see, I believe that there's issues within people's lives today that make up the local assembly, the local church, because it's tearing apart, not edifying, building up. And I believe that there's problems in people's homes today because there's problems in their spiritual life. And I believe that there's problems today in your job because there's a problem in your spiritual life. And I believe the church is not being blessed as the church should be blessed, and there's not growth as there should be growth in the church. There's struggles in the church finances. There's struggle in the church's other areas because we aren't what we're supposed to be. And there needs to be a wake-up call given. I believe there are many Christians, not just in this local assembly, and assemblies across America that are just going through the motions and causing division in the church and not unifying, not coming together. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Because look at this. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. There is these self-willed opinions and ways of doing things that are taking precedent, and you're approving it and you're doing it over what God has called you to do. You know what he's saying to the church? I believe it because this is what's happening. You're pushing your agenda over what God wants you to do. That's what it's saying there. He says there's heresies, there's your self-willed opinions. That's what the word heresies means there. There's your self-willed opinions. There's what you think you ought to be doing and the way you ought to be doing it, and you're pushing it over doing it God's way and the way God wants it. You're saying, we can make this feast anything we want. We can make the Lord's Supper any way we want. We can do it our way, and it does not matter. I can live my Christian life any way I want to live it. I can do whatever I want to do in the church. It's not going to make a difference. And Paul says, wake up. I believe there's a problem here. And the problem is, you're obeying yourself instead of obeying God. That's what he's telling them. You know what's happened in our churches today? Our self-willed opinions have been approved not by God, but approved by ourselves. And we stick to that, and we say it's God. Did you get that? It's our self-willed opinions and we push it as it's God's opinion. Wait a second. The purpose of the love feast was to focus on God, the love God had for them. And it was to unify them together. The purpose of the Lord's Supper was to do in remembrance of the Lord and focus on the Lord's death, burial, and his body and his blood and all that's there. But it became about them and what they wanted to push, what they wanted to do, what their agenda was, what those things were. That's the problem. That's the problem. You know what's happened in our churches? There's division today because people push themselves and their self-will opinions over the way God wants things done. Let's do a little teaching this morning. Do you know why we gather together as a church today? We gather, one, because it's commanded by God. Yes, we know that. But why do we gather together? We gather together so we do our Christian duty, right? No, we gather together because, one, we need to be fed, and two, we need to edify, and three, we need to be the lighthouse in this community. We gather together so we can be taught and we can be encouraged and we can go out and do what God has called us to do. We aren't here so we can get our emotions and get hyped up in a sense. We're here so God can crush us, bring us to the place of submission, because that's what he's talking about back in the beginning. And says, Lord, I'm yours, and I want to be used of you to help the cause, not hinder the cause. You see, what was supposed to be happening is the purpose of the church of Corinth, the called out assembly there in the wicked city of Corinth, was they were to come together, unify, to be that force in that community of a light shining bright. But what's happening is the light wasn't bright because there was division in the church. There was bickering in the church. There is people complaining about that person in the church. That was this person saying this about their spouse in the church. It was this happening and that happening and all the issues taking place in the church. Instead of being focused upon God and edifying and building up and glorifying God together. That's what was happening. And Paul says, Church of Corinth, I believe you have taken people's opinions and made it God's opinion. And you've said this is acceptable, but this is not acceptable. Do you know what we've accepted sometimes in our life as a Christian? We've said it's acceptable. God says it's not acceptable. You know what? We say as long as I'm doing something for God, it's good enough. You know what God says is not acceptable? That's not what God's word says. Does God want part of you or all of you? All of us. God want part of me or all of me? All of me. And we say, well, it's acceptable. Do you know if God truly had all of us, you know what that would look like? You know what the thing is, we say, well, this is acceptable because I do this ministry and I do this. No, God doesn't care about the ministries that you do. God cares about having your heart. God cares about having all of you. Well, I teach this class, or I'm involved in this, and I do this and that. Woohoo! God wants all of you. God wants all of me. And what he's saying here is, you have your self-will opinions, and you're saying this is approved of God. It's not approved of God. It's almost that we're doing God a favor the way we approach our Christian life and our Christianity. You ain't doing God a favor, let me tell you. I'm not doing God a favor doing our Christianity. God done me a favor by saving my soul. But I'm not doing God a favor. The idea is he's saying, you've taken that which is ought to be good and made it something that's not. You've said God's approved it, but God did not approve this. God wants you to get back to the way it ought to be. Now, I'm not saying we can't change because of culture to a point, and we can't change because of technology to a point, and we can't change. I think there needs to be some changes because we are changing, all right? I'm glad some days that I don't have to do some things. If I want a glass of milk, I don't have to do what some people had to do back in the old day. Even the glass of milk wasn't that hard, but making butter took a little longer. And I'm talking before the machinery. I'm talking the day of Rex back in the old days where you used to take it and you put it in a can and you shake it there, right? Rex, you remember those days at your grandparents' farm and you had to shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it? How many remember doing that in school? And they would have you, and it finally turned into butter. All right. I'm glad we don't have to do that today, all right? I'm glad there's been some machinery. I wish we could get back to where it's more natural than some of the stuff we're getting, and that would be a nice thing. And that, but I'm glad we don't have to do some of that. But here's what's happened. God's word has not changed. His way of doing gathering together or church, and I tell you, I try to sometimes use the word gathering together more than church, because church we always think of a building. Gathering together is what it's talking about, that called out gathering. And that gathering together ought to be done according to the word of God. Not self-willed opinions that have been adapted by the gathering of the church and saying it's of God. Not self-willed opinions that this is how you live a Christian life, and even though it goes contrary to the word of God. Not saying this is your self-will opinion, how you ought to do this in the home and how to do this there. No, it ought to come together and realize what God says is the way we obey it. Because before this, he says, hey, there's a role of the husband, there's a role of the woman, there's a role of the children, there's these roles, there's these places, there's this authority, there's the submission, there's the leadership, there's all this there, and it has to be done a certain way, and you can't change it. There's a way that you come together and you can't change it. There's a way you're supposed to fellowship together, but you can't change it. You can't change what it's supposed to be. Even if you like it or don't like it. Even if you agree with it or don't agree with it. You can't change it. We can't change it. That's what Paul was saying. Now look a little further here. In this perversion. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You're not coming to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, when we get into the Lord's Supper, we're going to hit this even harder. But what this means is you're coming to get your belly full, because that's why even a verse later on talks about that. And you're coming to do this. It's not to eat the Lord's Supper. The elements are not there to get you full. The elements are there to focus you on the Lord. Do you know why there's a perversion? Because the focus was not on the Lord. You know what's happened in our churches today? Not only there's heresies and self-will opinions, but we have focused on the wrong things this morning. In our called out assemblies, our gatherings, our church, our lives. Individuals. We're focused on the wrong thing. We're focused on what we want We're focused on what makes us feel good. We're focused on those things in our lives. And Paul says, you're coming to focus the wrong way. It's not the Lord's Supper to make you full. It's the purpose of the Lord's Supper to focus upon God. Do you know why we come together today? To focus on the Lord. Well, Brother Rick ignored me today. Count it a blessing. I mean, he ignored me today. Oh, that Brother Rich, he made a real face at me, man. He kind of snarled his nose at me. Maybe he was sneezing, but he still, I tell you, we focus on our own things. Now, I understand there's distractions in church, but guess what? There's distractions in church, and you can still focus on the Lord. You know, I never have a problem with the kid making a noise. Now I have a problem with Dave making a noise. No, that's... But, no. I don't have a problem with things going on. Why? Because that's not my focus. You know, if I focus on that, I can find a distraction in every service that you've ever been to in your whole life. You can find a distraction. But my focus is not on the distractions. What is my focus on? My focus ought to be on the Lord. I'm focusing upon Him. And if I'm focusing on Him, the building could be on fire and I don't know what's going on. How many have been that focused on something before? That you didn't even realize something was going on. Just recently, I was doing something and I went through my everything and did everything. And then later on, someone said, did you see this? And I went right by what this was. And I did not see what that was. I didn't even know that took place. Didn't even know that happened. If someone didn't tell me, I wouldn't even know. Why? Because I was focused. Now, that's scary sometimes. But I was focused on what I was focused on. And nothing else was going to get my attention. You could be in here, and the building could be on fire, and that's not going to get your attention. Why? Because you're focused on the Word of God. Your cell phone can go off, and you're not going to be focused on your cell phone because you're focused on the Word of God. The idea is this. They came for the wrong reasons because they were focused on the wrong things. And it says, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another's drunken. Everyone's cared about themselves instead of caring about what really matters. You're worried about your belly full. This person's not getting what they need. This person is drunken. This person's this. This person's that. Everyone's doing that which is right in their own eyes instead of focus on the Lord. And then you point out everyone else's problems. Well, look at Brother Jamie. Look at all his problems. Well, the focus ought to be on the Lord. And the focus ought to be on myself being make sure I'm right with God. Oh, look at Brother Brian. He can't remember his wife's birth or anniversary. He probably doesn't know the birthday either. And can't focus on those things. Wait a second. Focus on the Lord. Everyone's coming for the wrong reason. They want their bellies full. They want someone to give them food. They want someone to do this. They want someone to do that. Focus on the Lord. That's the perversion. Next week, we're going to get into the authority of it. Then we're going to get in the symbol of it. And what is being taught here, then we're going to get in the remembrance of it. And so we'll pick back up next week here. We were supposed to get a little further, but Brother Wade stopped us from doing that. All right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you.